Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Speaking about those Dolphins, it's time for our Dolphins Report with Omar Kelly. It's brought to you by Ruth's Chris Steakhouse. This is how it's done. Omar joins us now here on the Toyota of Hollywood Hotline. So, Omar, Adam Gase has said multiple times this week that the last time the Dolphins faced the Jets, they got their butts kicked. And I don't think it's the word that he used, but they lost the battle in the trenches. They lost the battle of physicality. Do you see the Dolphins as kind of a different team than the one that got clowned by the Jets back in week three?
I don't. I know that's going to break some people's hearts, but I don't know if you can become more physical on the, you know, you are basically the only team in the NFL that the Jets punked, because everybody's been able to successfully run against them except for the Dolphins, who produced 30 rushing yards. Now, a lot of that stuff is self-inflicted. They did a ton of penalties, a ton of negative plays. But, you know, that's how a Todd Bowles, Tony Sperano-esque team plays, and that's their approach. I just don't know if the personnel change, you know, the only personnel change that I could really tell you is going to be Raekwon McMillan and Lawrence Timmons and Cordrea Tankersley. But, you know, the problems weren't defensively. You know, last I checked, the Dolphins limited the Jets, so I believe it was 20 points. The problems were on offense.
Yeah, you know, Omar, do the Dolphins have an identity offensively? I think it's pretty clear that that the defense has come into their own this season. You had brought up today they have not allowed more than 21 points all season, which that number looks even better when you consider how ineffective the offense has been. So the defense has done whatever they could. But is there any identity on this offense?
No. The identity of the team is they're a defense-led team. I mean, when you got guys like the Showtime's NFL show, Boomer Esiason, saying that this could be a championship-caliber defense, that's high praise, very lofty praise. But, you know, offensively, they want to be a base play-action offense. Unfortunately, they're not consistent or efficient enough on the run. They've had teams like the Chargers and last week against the Falcons.
Yeah, the Falcons. You got to remember that, Omar. That was a big win.
Yeah, season possibly changing win.
Yeah.
The question is, do you have an offensive identity? And I don't think they're going to get one immediately until Devontae Parker gets back. Right now, yeah, you're going to rely on a lot of the two tight end sets, which I think is healthy for you as a team, especially healthy when it helps you in the run game. But are you comfortable with where you are from an offensive standpoint? I would say no, not a chance.
Omar Kelly from the South Florida Sun Sentinel is joining us here on Miami Sports Radio 560 WQAM. Omar, Mike Pouncey is still technically in the concussion protocol, but he did go through some practice today. Do you expect him to play on Sunday?
I do expect him to play. I've seen the Dolphins work this miracle before where they got Mario Williams clear to play in 1 week of practice, basically just putting him out there for that Friday walkthrough and then Saturday's practice. And as long as the baseline of his brain activity stays the same, he doesn't suffer any setbacks, headaches, or things of that nature, yeah, he's going to get his clearance. And I think that's a step in the right direction, because I would hate to see what this offensive line looks like against the Jets without Mike Pouncey. But, you know, it is what it is. You got to play without your top players. And the first game of the season, they played without Lawrence Timmons, which was, you know, the first two games of the season, they played without Lawrence Timmons. So I'm pretty confident that Mike Pouncey's going to play. I know this is important to Mike.
How about, Omar, you talked about Lawrence Timmons being in now. What about Ray Maaluga? What kind of a difference has he made to that linebacking core these last couple of weeks?
I don't know if he's played enough snaps to make a significant difference, but what I will tell you is that He's better against the run than Mike Hull is, and he's better against – well, I can't really say he's better than the pass, against the pass, because Mike – it's hard not to say that, because Mike Hull is probably one of the worst pass coverage linebackers the Dolphins have had, if not Dolphins have seen, like every pass played against Mike Hull. No shade against Mike Hull. He was doing the best that he could, but that wasn't his role. I think the biggest thing that you see now is with Lawrence Timmons back, Timmons takes those nickel snaps, which means less Mike Hull, and you're starting to see that defense tighten from the front end. However, it should be pointed out that quarterbacks are still completing 72% of their passes. Opposing quarterbacks still have 102 passer rating, cumulative passer rating against the Dolphins. So anybody who wants to, you know, pop bottles and celebrate the dominance of the Dolphins defense, do keep in mind that they are still one of the worst pass coverage teams in the NFL.
Omar, in the receiving core, if Devontae Parker doesn't play, and it seems like it would take maybe a minor miracle for him to play this week, who steps up? Will we see Rashawn Scott, or will we see Leonte Carew and Jakeem Grant have meaningful roles?
Well, Rashawn Scott would have to be activated off the PUP. He's basically got a two-week tryout to work his way up to the 53-man roster. That I don't, you know, unless he's activated tomorrow, I don't see that happening. And really, I have a hard time believing a guy's gonna, you know, be dusted off after not practicing for the last 2 months and all of a sudden be active for a game. But it's gonna have to be Leonte Carew and Jakeem Grant. The reason I say Leonte Carew over Jakeem Grant is because I know Jakeem Grant is not. Jakeem, you want to be a run based team. Jakeem Grant can't block, run block. So why would he be on the field? You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do.
Conceptually, if you cannot run block, why would you, and you are a run-based team, why would you put Jakeem Grant on the field unless it's for gimmick plays? And I'm fine, and I think it's appropriate for Jakeem to be on the field for gimmick plays, but if we're talking about a three-receiver-based formation, 11 stack, You got to play Leonte Carew. The problem is, as Adam Gase admitted to today, is when things don't line up like how Leonte Carew expects them to line up, he starts to play a little bit slower. He's thinking a little bit too much, and that's unhealthy for an NFL wide receiver. That's unhealthy for an NFL player. So he's got to get more comfortable, and the only way he can do that is with more snaps, unfortunately.
Omar, as this Dolphins offense is, you know, looking for dramatic improvements and looking for an identity, do you think that the improvements are going to come more from tweaks and schematic adjustments, or are they going to come more from just repetitions and guys not missing assignments? Like, are adjustments needed, or is it just execution?
Oh, definitely adjustments are needed. I think that they benefit from going to more two tight end sets. I think they benefit from changes in personnel, like using Damian Williams as a third down back instead of Jay Ajayi. Just subtle changes. Changes in how you use Jarvis Landry or get, you know, put him in motion. You know, I don't think the wide receivers have gone into motion as much as they did last year, and it sort of shows that the offense is a little bit stagnant now. I know they want to run more of an up-tempo offense. We saw it earlier in the season, and then all of a sudden they had to slow down because they were struggling and hemorrhaging. So obviously that's the next step for the offense. But, you know, I don't think you have to make drastic personnel change or drastic scheme changes, but I think everybody just has to do a better job of executing what they're trying to do or what they're responsible for doing, and that includes the coaching staff. Sometimes you have to change up your approach, which is what the Dolphins did going into that Steelers game. They changed up their approach last year. They were like, okay, we think we're this. We're clearly not this, so we have to become this. You know, Adam Gase, yeah.
Oh, no, go ahead. Finish your thought. You cut out there for a second, I thought.
If Adam Gase hasn't looked at his offense after the last five games, knowing that they're the worst offense in the NFL by a wide margin, the only team that's even close is the Cleveland Browns, who have no kind of talent on it. If you ever realize you have a problem and you might need to change your identity, then, you know, something's wrong with you.
Omar Kelly from the South Florida Sun Sentinel joining us here on WQAM. And Omar, I know I can't be the only person a little bit puzzled by how much Jay Ajayi is still struggling to catch passes out of the backfield, because I've seen how hard he's working on it. And I know it was a different scheme completely in college, but he caught a ton of passes at Boise State. I know that they're not the same sort of situations, but why isn't he catching passes now?
I don't know. I can honestly tell you, I just don't think he's, you know, Jay, and I'm sure the coaches disagree with me, but show me the play where Jay Ajayi jukes a guy and makes a defender miss in the open field. Jay's more of a shed the tackle. Like, right. You know, the guy's going to bounce off him, or he's going to stiff arm the guy, or he's going to run away. Yeah, he's a downhill runner. You're not seeing an elusive – this isn't Reggie Bush out there, and he's not even Damian Williams. So I don't know why the Dolphins continue to try to reinvent the wheel. Okay, you try to let him show that he's a better all-purpose three-down back, but clearly he's not. He's not Damian Williams. Damian Williams is an amazing pass protector, which is going to help you in the pocket. He can take on a defensive end. Not well, but he could do it. Jay Ajayi is okay. And then pass catching, you know, rarely does the first defender make Damian Williams, in a passing game, does the first defender take him down. That's an asset that makes you a very good third down back, and it's just not something that Jay Ajayi has in his arsenal.
Omar, this is a good question that came in on the defense from the text line. Is we're a few weeks, what are we, 3-4 weeks away from T.J. McDonald being eligible to play? I think that would be week 9 he can come back. What kind of a difference is he going to make?
You know, I'm very curious about that because, you know, I know he got this new big fat contract, and I know he's started every single game he's ever played in the NFL, and it was intrigued by what I saw from him in film and in training camp. However, he's got an identical game to Rashad Jones, and my problem with that is when Rashad Jones is asked to be the free safety, he's not good. And I'm not saying he's adequate. He's just not good. And he is an in-the-box safety. So if T.J. McDonald has been an in-the-box safety his entire career, and Rashad Jones has only been good as an in-the-box safety his entire career, who exactly is going to be playing center field for the Dolphins defense? So I have no idea, honestly, how it's going to work or how it's going to fit, because the only game that we saw it actually them play together was the Philadelphia game where the Dolphins got shredded defensively. I don't mean to rain on people's parade on this, but if you got two in-the-box safeties, that generally has not worked out very well for this Dolphins team. I can name them for you, these, you know, in-the-box safety tandems that the Dolphins have had. And it's generally not – anytime Rashad Jones has been asked to be the center field safety, he's not good. And that, to me, will be the biggest mystery about what's going to happen moving forward. Can T.J. McDonald become a center fielder, you know, ball hockey type of free safety?
Omar Kelly from the South Florida Sun Sentinel joining us here on Miami Sports Radio 560 WQAM. So, Omar, last time out, Dolphins Jets in Week 3. They got their butts kicked. They were out physical, even though when I spoke to Todd Bowles about it, he's a humble guy. He downplayed it. He said, no, we just made fewer mistakes than he did. We both saw the Dolphins get out-muscled in that game. And the mistakes came into play as well.
Yeah, I would agree with Todd Bowles. I'm not sure they're – yeah, offensively, they pushed them around. But the Jets couldn't run the ball against the Dolphins. They just beat them on big plays and made less mistakes. I would say probably the Jets had the edge on special teams, which was a surprise to me. So I'm not certain we can, you know, did the defensive line push Miami's offensive line around? Absolutely.
Yeah.
Did they make them one-dimensional and take away the run game, which takes away the play-action passing game, which forces you to be exclusively pass, 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 and then that just sets you up for failure, especially when you're trailing? And they just choked on their own saliva? Yes, that did happen. But I'm not necessarily certain that we can say without a doubt the Jets are just absolutely more physical than the Miami Dolphins.
Well, what's your prediction? What's your feeling for this Sunday?
I think the Dolphins should win this game out. The Jets, yet they were aided by the fact that, you know, keep in mind that that was Jets' first win, and the Dolphins just gave them a significant confidence boost. And now it's come back to earth moment for them. I think that being on the road is going to be a huge challenge for them, especially if the Dolphins crowd is behind the team and not cheering for Matt Moore after, you know, two snaps. And and I think that this home crowd and the heat and humidity should help the Dolphins produce a 21-17 victory against the Jets.
I like it. And despite their troubles, Omar, sometimes I have to remind myself and remind fans that the Dolphins are 3-2, despite the issues that they've had offensively. So should fans be looking at the Dolphins as a team that at least is competing for a playoff spot, or should they not think of that until some of these issues get fixed?
I mean, last time I checked, the Dolphins were in the playoffs.
Yeah, I think the sixth seed, yeah.
It's far too early to even begin thinking about any of that kind of stuff. But last time I checked, they were in the playoffs. And for all that you've endured and gone through and experienced and overcome, for you to have a winning record at 3-2 at this point in the season is like moving mountains. You should be celebrating that, because the best thing that happens in the NFL is you face adversity and still win. And that's what they've been able to do. To me, and I've said this on Twitter, I said this on X and Omar during the week, and I truly believe this, and I don't just say it because we're at this point in the year. I've always looked at this five-game stretch that's going to happen right now as the most important stretch. What you do before you play the Patriots in New England, in Foxborough, is going to set the tone of whether or not you make the playoffs. If you can have an impressive stretch of games right now, let's just say winning three of the five, getting to six wins on the season, and all you need to do is win four more the rest of the way, I think you'll make the playoffs. But this is the stretch that you're going to have to really make big gains.
Dolphins, take notice, the big stretch starting now. He is Omar Kelly, covers the Miami Dolphins for the South Florida Sun Sentinel. Follow him on Twitter, at Omar Kelly. Omar, thank you so much, my friend, and enjoy the game this Sunday. I'll see you there.
All right, Donald.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.